I always like to start with this say that you cannot know what you've never heard. You don't understand what you don't know. You cannot apply what you don't understand. And you cannot succeed in what you have never applied. Wisdom is essentially based off this. Of first you gotta hear. And hearing has everything to do with your environment. Then you gotta know. And knowing implies that we've spent time in that environment so much that things are becoming second nature. And then we have to understand. Understanding implies that we've studied what we know to get a deeper meaning of not information but concept. Understanding is linked with the word concept, and concept is like a law, it's like a principle. It means that once you understand the concept and a law and a principle of how something works, you can reproduce that very thing anywhere, anytime, any place. You cannot know what you've never heard. So the first component, the most important component to start with, is hearing. And matter of fact, the Bible knows this, and so it says in Romans, it says, faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing of what? The word of God. So faith comes by hearing, but it doesn't stay by hearing. You can believe in something, but if you're not grounded in it, you can get washed away really quickly. So then we must hear, and that has to do with the environment. That has to do with changing our environments so that we can hear the right thing. Whatever your environment is those people that control what you hear. Your environment determines what you hear. And that's why it's so important to be in the right environment with people that nurture you, that are nutrient, that bring forth life into you, and not people that kill your spirit. And so with that being said, once that environment is set, now we must get to know the stuff that we've been hearing. Okay, I've been hearing about this verse. I gotta open it up. I gotta check it out. I gotta get to know it. And a part of knowing it is almost as if you're memorizing it, but you're not. You know the contents. You know, okay, this content is at the beginning. This content is here. This content is there. You know where it is. You know how to find it. And so, what happens is that we must first know it, and then we must study it to get a deeper understanding of the concept. And as we get the concept, only the application of those concepts will give us consistent results. And that results become successful only if applied. That knowledge becomes effective only when applied. So to succeed, the last point here says you cannot succeed if, I don't know where I have, he's there, but you cannot succeed if you are yet to apply that knowledge. And a lot of people are trying to get to a result without having to apply anything. They're hoping for There we go. They're hoping for somebody else to apply something for them and for them to get the results. And so that's the problem. So the problem here and your problem is only found in one of these areas. Your whole entire life is really found in one of these four dot points. And so one of these four dot points is the reason why you're not succeeding in something. Is the reason why you're not getting victory in something. Is because either you haven't heard of it, you don't know it, you don't understand it, or you haven't applied it. These four points are it. And it's in every topic of life. Let me first get myself in an environment where I can hear. And the stuff that I've heard, let me take it with me. Let me just not hear it once and let it go. Let me get to know the stuff that I've heard. Then I must understand. And then I might apply. And then success is a result of these four steps done correctly. You hear, you know, you understand, you apply. And that's a success. And that's what wisdom essentially is. So faith comes by hearing. Get yourself in the right environment to hear. But then you must isolate to get the knowledge and understanding. To know and understand, isolation is the only way. You must segregate and isolate yourself by yourself to really study what's going on. And then you must come back with the people and apply. And Jesus did this so well. He always, first thing in the morning, he'll go in and go hear from the Father. I gotta get hearing, because faith comes by hearing. I always gotta hear it. I gotta get myself around the environment. Hear it, hear it, hear it. And as he spends time to know and understand, he spent 30 years trying to understand life. 30 whole years studying life. And so no wonder why he was so effective when it was time to apply. 3 years he applied something people can't apply. In years and years, multiple people combined, the universe combined. And still people are still struggling to get to the point Jesus was. Well, he did these 4 points very effectively. And so this is a summary of what wisdom is all about. It really is. You cannot know what you've never heard. You cannot understand what you don't know. You cannot apply what you don't understand. And you cannot succeed if what you've heard, you've never applied. And so, today, we're going to start very interesting with a very interesting question. Because last week we talked about the concept of God and what that's all about. Who is God? And so today, to elaborate that, because we got multiple answers last week, some people say their concept of God that they've heard was that it was a man sitting on a chair somewhere in a galaxy, and he's telling you, you've done wrong. And matter of fact, that definition of God is one of the primary definition that everybody have of God. A man sitting on a chair telling you whether you're going to heaven or hell, what have you done right or wrong. And so we're gonna dig a little bit deeper today to get more understanding on that, but we're gonna put that away and we're gonna start with this very question. Can anybody describe to me a tree? Can you describe a tree?
Is that on?
Yeah.
Seeds. Roots. Leaves, vines. Fruits. Tree.
True, that's interesting. Anyone else try?
Tree is a plant and it produces something, whether that be fruit or oxygen or beauty.
That's interesting. We can't really pinpoint how to describe a tree, really. What's the right way of describing a tree?
A tree has a purpose.
It does. Then the next question would be, describe a... the A.
Unseen. It's like faith.
So if you were describing air to a baby, or to a little kid, you would say unseen.
It's like this.
That's interesting. To convey that message of a description of a tree, you had to create an experience. That's very interesting. So we see that air cannot be described. It can only be experienced. And it's almost similar with a tree. You can say leaf, branches, but people would think solely on leaf. You say leaf, we think leaf. We don't think tree. And so then we must say, describe gas. How are you going to describe gas?
It's like air, but you can see it a little bit.
Can you actually see gas?
It's like, and then something gets in your eye.
That's interesting. So now we see there's a couple of things we're really struggling to describe. But if you experience it, you can understand it. These are the things that no man can tell you what it is. They really can't, unless you've experienced it. Only an experience of air, of gas, can result to you understanding those two components. If you've never seen it and experienced it, you can never describe it. Well, even if you try to describe it, only you can understand what you're describing. Ashley, would you like to describe air for me? What would you say to a child if you're describing the air? I don't think the mic is on. Yeah, now it's on. No, it's off. It's off. On. Cool. I don't know what's going on. Cool. Were you experiencing a problem with that mic? That's off. That should be on. Yeah. Cool, let's check some new bat.
Testing. Okay, it's back to normal.
Maybe. Maybe it's batteries.
So describe it.
You can feel the air when you go to bed. She's like the breeze.
Yeah, yeah. So you're telling us an experience. You can feel the air.
Yeah, feel the air.
So now, what's my point? The point is, it's the same thing with God. Divinity cannot be explained, and it will never be explained. And so, when someone comes to you and says, "Describe God to me," it's like that. And when you experience it, your bones, your heart, all the components of your body, they know what's going on. They know the component that's going inhale and exhale. But the mind doesn't really understand what's going on. But there's a whole vibration happening inside, a whole frequency happening inside. It's a whole experience. And that experience is happening from within. That experience cannot be outside. So already, if we start searching for God like we say we are on the outside, then we can't experience Him. Never. If you search for breathing outside of you, you cannot breathe. These are components that can only happen within. And so then we have a couple of questions to get us thinking. Then we say this: what is good and what is bad? Can somebody describe to me good? What's good? Because that's how we live life right now. We say, that's a bad person. That's a good person. What you did was bad. Stealing is bad. This is good.
Good and bad. Depends on perspective. Somebody else's good and bad's different. Your good and bad's different to my good and bad.
What and how do we measure good or bad? Because these are the kind of things that it's impossible to really know what's good and what's bad unless you measure it. And you must measure it against something. It's the same thing as rich and poor. Who's rich, who's poor? How do you know one is rich? There must be a unit of measurement. Then who is good, who is bad? How do we measure if someone is good or bad?
Your consciousness. If you're conscious of being bad, you're bad. If you're conscious of being good, you're good.
True. Then if we use that concept, then it gets very interesting, because our parents look at us and they say, the stuff you guys are doing are bad. Because 15, 20 years ago, that wasn't the thing back then. But we know what we're doing is not essentially bad. But the older generation always seems to have the idea that the younger generation is doing something bad and doing something wrong, because they didn't do it in their generation. But in our consciousness, we don't think so, because that's how we are. Everybody does it. Everybody do it.
Can you give an example?
I remember growing up, if I wore my hat backward, my dad would pull me up. "You've become a delinquent." I would laugh. Because him growing up with the very strictness, and his grandparents and so forth, that's what they were taught. Anybody that was well educated couldn't be wearing their hats backward. It was a sign of revolting. It was a sign of bad behavior. But now, when I'm wearing my hat backward, I don't feel guilty. I don't feel bad. But if my parents are around and they look at me, then I start feeling bad. Because I've measured myself against somebody. And we do that a lot of things. There's a lot of things you would do on your own you wouldn't do around your parents. Because then they become a unit of measurement. And so there's a lot of units of measurement we use. Even the formula about go to high school, finish high school, get a job, work full-time. These are units of measurement. And when you do that, the world says you're successful. Well then, who is successful, who is not? Then the second question is, can an experience ever be explained without an environment? Is it possible for you to ever explain an experience without including the environment? These are questions we've got to think about. These are very, very deep questions. It goes down to the foundation of God Himself. Can an experience ever be explained without including the environment?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I think knowing something is different to experiencing it. Like, you can't really experience cold without hot. Mm. Without it being hot. Without experiencing hot. Or you can't experience being short unless there's someone that's tall.
Mm.
And I can just go on. Yeah, forever. Can't experience good without bad.
True. Then we see that in all the explanation we do, the sense of environment. I can't even tell a story and the story to make sense without me including where I am, what I was doing, the environment, the chair I was touching. And this tells us that we are not separate from our environment. You cannot get one without the other. There is no good without bad. There is no rich without poor. There is no God without devil. And so a lot of people would hate that line. Because what it implies is much greater than what they ever thought. And this is still on the topic, who is this God that we call God? Then the last question here is, can you ever understand the parents' characteristics from the child? And anybody that's worked in the childcare or been around kids, can you tell how the parents are from observing the child? Can we? You could have never met the parents, but just spending time with the kids, you can tell everything about the parent. If that's possible, then what makes that connection? How is it possible that the parent is not physically there, but you can understand the parent without having to meet the parent, just from the child? How is it possible? What makes it possible? These are interesting links. What makes it possible to understand a parent from just observing their child?
What they say, their actions.
Do you think it's much deeper than just the actions of the kid? Because sometimes I hear a lot of people say things like, man, you remind me of your dad. Then I think, wait, hold on. I go to my dad, I said, yo, dad, do you know so-and-so? Have you done anything for them? Nah. Do you actually know them? Nah, I barely know them. So how can I remind somebody of my dad? And so I asked that person, I said, do I look like my dad? Oh, not really. But you remind me of your dad. Then where is the connection? Where is the link between a parent and a child?
Within.
That's an interesting answer. What do you mean by within?
Oh, damn. I've got some oneness thinking coming on here, like with the father and the son.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very interesting answer. That from the child, we can understand the parent. Now, here's a question. For those of you who call yourself Christians and believers of God and so forth, if God is a parent, he's a father, like we know, then who are we towards him? And I hear a lot of people say answers like child of God. Is that correct? Is that what they say? A child? Then how many children does the father have? That's the question. How many children does the father have?
One.
Does the father really have one child?
Yeah.
Well then, if we say that this man here is a child, then is everybody else disqualified?
Nope.
How? Because the father is not claiming anybody but one.
Christ is within.
What does that mean for us?
We're part of that one child.
That's interesting, because that changes the whole plot. And if we say we are that child, because if you're one with the child, then you are the child, then are you the Jesus Christ they speak of? Is that you? Is that you, Earth? Are you Jesus Christ? Are you Jesus Christ, Sizzle?
Yes, I am.
A lot of people try to stone you if you say yes.
They can stone me.
Because the father said he's one and only. And I went to check this in the Greek. And in the Hebrew, I studied the whole through the Bible. I couldn't find a second child. He only claims one. And if that's the case, and we've said that from the child, we can understand the Father without having to meet the Father. And you guys are claiming that you guys are the only child. Then from just observing you, we can see the Father. Well, then one might say, what if I'm being a bad person? Can we still see the Father? But is the Father bad or good?
God created everything good, and if I, well, my thought is, if anyone perceives anything bad, then they simply don't know who they are, and they've eaten from the knowledge, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the one God told us not to eat, and which is the fruit that produced bad, the concept of bad.
That's interesting. And so then we might question, and we must say, there is only one son, and the father only claims on that very son. But there is 7 billion people in the world. But then going back to the question I asked before, which was, how is it possible to understand the characteristics of the Father by observing a son? What links them together? And Cody said, it's from within. Well, then there must be an interesting link, that regardless of where the Father is or where the Son is, there is still a link. And later on, going on, Benedict mentioned about all things being good. So then we question and we say, if that's the case, if that is true, then all the panic attacks, the stress, the dysfunction, loss of job, is that good or bad? What do you reckon, Sizzle? Somebody loses a job, somebody is in trouble, somebody lacks money, and so forth. All that experience, we know that we frame it in the world as a negative experience. This is bad. You're not being productive. You dropped out of school. That's a negative experience. These are all bad. You're not successful. You are a dropkick. They've called you all bunch of names.
I think it's up to the person, but if they take that to heart, and it's governed their life and feelings at that moment in a negative way, then they've adopted a lie to themselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a lie.
Which part of it is a lie? The fact that they think it's a negative experience?
That they're the person that they're what they feel in that situation.
You got a mic right in front of you. We're missing some content, man. Damn.
Can you just elaborate on the feeling part you're talking about?
That mic's on.
That they believe they are what they feel at that moment.
That's a very interesting thing that you just said. So are you telling me that if I'm in a situation where I've lost my job, right? And I feel depressed, let's say, would that be a lie? If I believe that I am depressed because of how this losing my job has made me feel, are you saying that would be a lie?
I wouldn't believe that's the highest part of you, like your
Let me just step in.
Yeah, go on.
The first question in that situation we'll ask first is, who told you you're depressed? Because I've seen situations where one person gets a 6 out of 10, they throw a whole party, like, yeah, 6 out of 10. Another person gets an 8 out of 10 and they're the most depressed person out there. They feel like a complete failure.
Well, that comes down to perception, right? Your perception of the situation would determine the outcome, 100%. If I believe I've lost my job because I'm not good enough, that would lead me down the road of probably not finding a job. But if I've just lost my job, and I went through this, and I'm speaking from experience, and I've lost my job, and I've told myself I'm too expensive for people to pay me, I'm an executive director, then I'll become an executive director.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love the work that we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content at Patreon and support us at Patreon, Subscribesta, and Crypto. Find us at our website www.realitycreation.co. All links in the description below. You are listening to Joel Benicia from Reality Creation.
And that comes back to the fact that I am who I say I am. And that's written in, I take that from the Bible and apply it. So if you perceive it as a downfall, it will take a toll on you. But if you see it as an opportunity, it will help you grow.
So what do you believe on the inside? What's within? The outside world is telling you that you've lost your job, but where do you hold your identity? What do you believe in? Do you believe that is you? Just coming back to the what's good, what's bad. I just seen this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His good purpose. You know, if you believe, you know, that you're meant for more, then what just happened is good. It's just your perception over what you believe, over what your outside world is telling you, but what are you telling yourself on the inside?
Just going off Cody, but also what Sizzle said before when she said, like, I am Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, you can, there's this Bible verse in Colossians 3:11, and it says, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, nor, actually, I'll read from 9. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And you can choose to identify with the Christ, or you can look at another verse and be like, or I'm that sinner that Jesus sat with. Like, it's really up to what you want to, who you decide you want to identify with.
Another verse is Ephesians 5. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And, you know, if a situation happens, an unliving situation or any situation, you literally think to yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So then you act as Jesus. Then who are you in that moment? You just acted as Christ would act.
So then, if all I was saying here is true, then the churches must be closed. Because we've seen this man as somebody out there that is impossible to reach. But this verse here says he's all and in all. We've usually seen this man as somebody that's on another level, far away from us, and we are pleading guilty. We are coming with burdens, with shame. And this man is saying, don't worry, I can do all things, but you can't do nothing. That's the picture we've been given. And that's left us powerless. Where I know a lot of people that will come to me and they'll say, Joe, I want you to pray for me. And I would say, have some faith that you also can pray and get a result. They say, no, my prayers aren't that powerful. And I laugh. What do you mean your prayers aren't that powerful? Oh, no, I still got a long way to go. Long way to go? Who told you this? Well, it's the teachings we've been teaching people, that they've got a long way to go. But the power is here and now. Because when Paul and Apostle Paul, people came to him in the church of Corinth, they tried to understand who God was. And he told them who God was by explaining the Son. He could never describe God to them. So he explained to them by the Son. By the child you understand the Father. And so he says, Christ is the power and wisdom. And then later on he tells them, now go and test it out. Well, then that's the problem. Because it's saying Christ, who comes in form of power and wisdom, that's dwelling in you, has become one with you, has given you power and wisdom. So go and test it out. Do you or do you not have power to change your circumstance? Or are you still there to blame, to condemn, and to defend? Which is what the ego does all the time. It's looking for someone to condemn, someone to blame, or it goes on full self-defense mode. Let me explain to you why I'm where I am. That's a sentence I've deleted from my vocabulary a long time ago. I don't explain to people anything anymore. Joe, how come? No, I won't explain to you. Because that kind of question will bring forth panic in you. Then you feel like you got to justify yourself. But you shouldn't have to justify yourself if really you have power. Look at the hierarchy. The CEO is not justifying himself to the cleaner. That's never happening. The ones in the bottom of the company justify themselves to the people on top. Send me a report. Go in and fill in what you've done and so I can assess you. But if you're in a position of power, that's not you. You don't need to give reports to everybody about where you are and how you're doing. And so, we've lost touch with this power and wisdom. And we've lost touch with this very guy, very man here. Who, his whole entire purpose was to show us who we are. That's really all he tried to do. He tried to show us the power we have in us. And so as he's leaving, he's telling the people, this is the goodbye message. Imagine someone is leaving and is telling you, this is the goodbye message they're leaving you. The things that I've done. You can do much greater things. And so we are here waving, please save me, please help me. Welcome boldly through the throne of grace. So that you may what? Receive. How long are we going to see ourselves as small fish? Well, no wonder why we can never understand the Father. Then when people say, oh, I don't believe there's God. Well, it's because you see yourself as small. If you knew that this God that you speak of, himself dwells within. He's not a man sitting on a chair. You will not find him in the chair. That's not where he said he is. Well, then people have said heaven. And they've thought of heaven as a place up in the galaxies. Well then, that's interesting. Because if he's a man sitting up in the galaxies, then how can that man be omnipresent? Everywhere, at all time. The only way you can be everywhere, at all time, is if you're in everyone. That is the only way. Omnipresence is achieved through and done. And so, this changes our perception even when it comes to prayer and manifestation. Because if I have Christ in me, you have Christ in you, we can link up. You could be on the other side of the earth, and I'm trying to publish my research. You will contact me through telepathy. Because it is the same image. The original image is still the same image. God created man in his image. It's still the same image. Whether the image believes or not, it is what it is. And it doesn't change when you think differently of yourself. It is what it is. If you think you don't have a brain, it's your fault. But you do have a brain, whether you believe it or not. So now the difference now comes to the principles we're learning at the start. These very principles here. Because this is what's teaching us how to harness the power that's in us. This is the process. You must hear about yourself, and you must know yourself, understand yourself. Apply is just management of self, and that's how you succeed. The formula for you to succeed in life is you. It's nobody else. There's no degree. There is no PhD person that can come in and save you. There is no pastor. There is no doctor. There is nobody but you. You are it. And so a man said it this way. He said, if you want to be successful in this life, you must start taking responsibility. That's all it requires to be successful, to be responsible. And people said, surely not. That's an easy requirement. Everybody can do it. Or I said, not true. Whenever something happens to us, nobody wants to be responsible. But responsibility is a result of you believing that you have power to change. And so I always tell people that insecurity is a belief problem. Is that you believe that you don't have the power within to impact, affect, or change your external world. That's what creates insecurity. Whenever one feels weak on the inside, they become insecure. And that weakness is just that what's out there is stronger than what's in there. But then, if we understand that all is one, and what's out there and what's in there intertwine, so then if you feel small inside, then small is reflected on the outside, and that small is reflected back on the inside. And it's a cycle. So then, all this, we're going on a journey to understanding the Father. Because the original question was this very question. What is your concept of God? Because this very question has killed us all. This is the question that has buried us. And as long as we're not on the search to find out the answer to this question, nothing makes sense in life. Nothing. Nothing will make sense. You can get all the money in the world, it still won't make sense. Well then, let's go through another series of questions. Does a seed have the potential to become a tree? What do you think? True or false, actually? True. Does a calf, which is a baby elephant, has a potential to become an elephant? True. Does a sperm have the potential to become a baby? We know this stuff. None of this stuff is new. Does a kitten have a potential to become a cat? Well then, would you say a kitten is a cat? And does a son have the potential to become a father? No? Yes? So then, identify yourself. With your potential. And that's the hard thing to do, to identify yourself with your potential. And your potential will grant you salvation. It would save you from your current self. And this applies in all area. If currently I feel stressed all the time, that's my current state, but that's not my potential. So I identify myself with my potential. And my potential becomes my savior. And he saves me from the misery of the present. And that has always been the formula. Don't say what you see. Say what you want. Don't think who you are currently. Think your highest form of potential. So now, when it comes down to learning, what must we learn? We must learn what is the highest form of potential. Because the more we understand the highest form of potential, the more we can identify ourselves with something more powerful and more powerful. And the more we can identify ourselves with something more powerful, then we get wisdom and power added on top of it. So the journey has always been a journey of identity.
Self-discovery.
That's all it is. Self-discovery. You find out what your highest potential is, and you identify yourself with your highest potential. Well, if your highest potential is not high enough, then there's some learning to do. And so, how are we going to learn? Let's have a look. I was going to come back to this another day, but let me skip. Now, then the Bible. Why do we use it? Well, the Bible is a psychological truth. It is truth based on the mind. That's all it is. It's. Let's see what the third dot point says. He says, and if your mind governs your life, then the Bible is your autobiography. Well then, we've been equipped. We've been equipped with a tool that's going to help us win. That's all it does. Because all we're trying to do, we're trying to identify ourselves with our higher selves. And as you identify yourself with your higher self, you can get things at higher level. And so, what's the key? The key is, if I want to identify myself with the higher self, I must know what the higher self is capable of doing. And so, what do I do? because I have amnesia and I don't remember what state I was in the Garden of Eden, I must now go and read what I wrote about myself. And what I wrote about myself is going to help me identify myself with my original state, my natural state, the higher self. And someone may say, well, but I didn't write the Bible. Well, aren't you the Jesus Christ I speak of? Well, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, did he really? That's a question we really got to think of. Well then, if he is the Word, and the Word is a scripture, the reason why he is the Word is because that's his autobiography. Now, then the question comes in and says, is the Bible all that he is? Benedict, read us that verse you read before.
Colossians 9 to 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deed, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Okay, that changes our perception, because we thought the Bible was it. But Christ is all and in all. Well, no wonder why I can use the example of air and still get to the same conclusion. Gas, still get to the same conclusion. Seed, still get to the same conclusion. Because in all, and he's all. So now, this word is not just the book we call Bible. Because the word became flesh. In all and all. So what does that mean for everyday life? It means that we can be taught about ourselves from all. In all, everywhere. There is no separation. You can learn about yourself in all. Because that's all the Bible is. Matter of fact, I even recommend for a lot of the times, a lot of people that have this Bible must throw it in the bin. Because what that does, it's chained us. And Paul understood this concept. And Paul was very passionate about this. So he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, the letter kills. The Bible kills. Why? Because they're not mixing it with the Spirit. It's plain letter that people have taken, memorized it, and misused it. And so it's caused mass confusion. I'd rather people not read the Bible than read it. Well, no wonder why Jesus had problems with the Pharisees, because they spend a lot of time in the scriptures. And when they spend a lot of time in the scriptures, they didn't go with the understanding of Christ. They went for personal gain. They went for breakdown to crucify other people, to blame other people. They didn't want to take responsibility for anything. It was an act of irresponsibility. That's why Jesus was pissed at the Pharisees. They weren't responsible for anything. They didn't think they were responsible for anything. Because life is all about you. The Bible is all about you. What do you know about yourself that could help you get to your higher self, that could help you get to what you want to get to. It's an autobiography. Everything you read, it's all you. It is all you. Love thy neighbor as yourself. It's all you. Everything reflects back to you. And so we've not understood much about life because we've always looked at else and never ourselves. And that's the hardest thing, because looking at yourself is scary. You will end up facing some things you never wanted to face. But it is impossible for you to return to your higher state, to transform your life from sadness to happiness, from death to life, unless you know you. Because you have to transform. No one else will transform it. You must transform it. And so there's a gift of an autobiography that's been given to us. Not a religious book. We've confused it as a religious book. That has to do with morals and pointing fingers and right and wrong. But let right and wrong do what it does best. Because there is no wrong without right. There is no hot without cold. So it serves its purpose. Well, why don't you serve your purpose? Well then, if we have this kind of understanding of ourselves, now if we can actually sit down and think through these layers of ourselves, and we are children of the Father, then maybe we can understand a bit about the Father and who he really is. Maybe if you think tonight, you might receive an awakening, a revelation on who God really is. Maybe if we actually isolate ourselves from the group and spend time trying to know and understand and apply, maybe we must see something we've never seen before. And maybe we might receive an experience, a transcendental experience, elevating experience, just like the air you breathe. It must first go in, L, and then X. And if you spend time with it, it will become so natural, just like breathing. Applying power and wisdom in L. Jesus did it like it was yesterday. Power comes in, power goes up. Heal somebody, power comes in, power goes up. Poo, 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 poo. Never had to think about it. Well, then we've lost touch of our power. We've lost touch of the Spirit. We've lost touch. We've transformed God into a useless man sitting on a chair, waiting for the last day. We've diminished all he is and turned him only into a box where you Christians go on your left side, you whatever on your right side, you everybody, and we've forgotten it is all one image. So well then, if that's the case, no wonder why there's so much confusion. But I want to finish with this. And I've skipped a lot of slides, but we'll continue with some of this next week. It says this. For God is not an author of confusion. So if you're ever confused, God is not there. Guarantee. If you're confused on who God is, you're looking on the outside. If you're in a situation and you're confused, you haven't tapped into your power. Every time there's a confusion, there is no power being used. If there's confusion in a house, then the father is not doing their job. If there's confusion in the company, then the CEO doesn't have control. Lack of power and wisdom leads to confusion. So then, power and wisdom is all that we need. That's all. And now, this power and wisdom is one with love. Because any wisdom applied in this earth must imply love, because all is one. So if you don't understand that concept, then you have yet to even receive power to begin with. There is no power outside of love. There is no wisdom outside of love. That's it for today.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love the work that we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content at Patreon and support us at Patreon, Subscribester, and Crypto. Find us at our website www.realitycreation.co. All links in the description below. You are listening to Joel Benicia from Reality Creation.